The Home Depot Home Improvement Show, brought to you in part by DryPro.
The Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. Answering your home improvement questions every Saturday on WPT. Presented by Charlotte Comfort Systems Heating and Air Conditioning and Acosta Heating, Cooling, and Electrical on News Talk 1110 and 99.3 WPT.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. I'm John Gordon.
I'm Dave Doble.
Good morning, David Doble. How are you?
Good morning, my friend. How's your world?
What's going on?
The same old work, work, work.
Work, work, work. All work and no play makes David a dull boy. What's up with that?
I didn't say I didn't play.
Okay, so no sleep.
No. Yeah, there you go. Well, one of these days, I'm going to start playing golf again.
Really?
I keep saying that. Yeah.
Yeah, well, one of these days, I'm going to put a sharp stick in my eye.
Oh.
That's my comment on golf. Nah, I just never got good at it, so I guess I don't spend enough time.
Well, I didn't say maybe, I was good at it.
Yeah, maybe when I retire.
Yeah.
One day, I'll have to spend, like, we'll take a segment and tell you the greatest golf story in my golf career. It takes about 5 minutes, but it's one of those, you know, like, it was a dog leg left 300 miles to the tee. So I took, yeah, but it was funny. It was with all the executives from 84 Lumber. Okay. Let's see. Well, that's not what we're going to talk about this week. This is what we're going to talk about, home improvement. Oh, what a pleasant change of pace. There's a lot here, David. I labeled things not because I'm like OCD or anything, but under my topics, I just give them, you know, alphabet order. So I have from A to P today in my list. That's a lot.
That is a lot. I'm not biting.
What do you mean? No, literally, I do. I it didn't until I said that out loud. There was nothing to bite on. But but seriously, everything from, well, I wanted to say, I don't know what's on my mind, because I wanted to write down choosing replacement windows, and I wrote down choosing replacement business. Maybe.
Yeah. Hey.
Maybe I want.
I'd like to talk about that. Some days.
It was a tough week. It was a tough week. No, it was a good week. It was a good week.
They're all good. You know, there's just challenges. There's just challenges. You know,
in my world, I work in the national accounts, so I don't work in our stores anymore. I'm in them a fair amount, but I'm typically not working through them like I used to in operations. But now I'm in that whole national accounts arena. We just announced a big acquisition this week of a company called SRS Distributors, which is really good for my world because I'm in with the pro guys, the heavy hitter pro guys, right? So they love that stuff.
They're buying bulk, right?
Yeah, that's just, well, imagine the difference between trying to get it that way or trying to get it out the door, you know, on pallets amidst all the other stuff going on. So, yeah, pretty cool. But that's not what we're going to talk about either. We're going to talk about, like, replacement windows. I want to talk about sash packs. I'm not sure if they're still even out there. I haven't looked in so long. We're going to talk about cleaning your roof, maybe some ideas and ways to save on heating and cooling, particularly cooling this time of year. We'll talk about weird stuff that could happen with a LED bulb, and then dimmers. A retaining wall.
Oh yeah.
It's that time. Everybody's out there doing that stuff. And then if we have time, we can do like the cool little fire pit you can make with all that same stuff, right? That's very popular. We want to talk about air admittance valves.
Okay.
That was topic number P, just for the record. So I've skipped a whole bunch of stuff. But, you know, we haven't had a lot of emails lately, it feels like.
We have not. It's been quiet. And I do send a test. So it's working. So it's they go right through.
I had a chance to talk to the folks in our media department by email. Was it this week? Maybe last week. They're really very supportive with all this stuff. And they wanted to know for our product of the week, did it need to be like national products or whatever? I said, well, we broadcast in the local area of Charlotte, the greater Charlotte, North Carolina area. And that's a certain market number. And I said, but we get emails from all over the place. In fact, I think the long distance winner of an email is somebody from Australia.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have a store number there? I didn't get a response. That'll be next week's announcement. Home Depot enters Australia. That's not even funny. I shouldn't even say that out loud. Somebody in public relations will call me and scold me for that. But we are not opening stores in Australia.
Correct.
Okay. And that's it. So there's a lot of stuff. I thought this weekend would be either crazy busy with calls because people are kind of taking some time off for the Easter holiday and then spring break, or it could be like dead as doornails because
of the
Easter holiday and people are taking time off. So the beautiful thing about this whole thing is that any way you slice it, we're going to spend 2 hours talking about home improvement stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And if I had a way to spend a Saturday morning, this would be the second best way to do it.
Right. Well, hey, just so we don't gloss over it, questions at askjohnanddave.com. So if you don't want to call, you don't want to be on air, or you think it you just want to have some privacy with your question or whatever the reason, but it's open 24/7. So you can always send them there, and it is still I still answer them. So
there you go. So what could be better than that? All right, what could be better than that is taking a break. So let's do that. We're going to slide away and then slide back into the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave right after these important messages. Welcome back. It's the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. I'm John Gordon.
I'm Dave Doval.
We'd love to hear from you this morning. Give us a call. We're at 704-570-1110, 704-570-1110. Let's make it as productive as possible for you. David, coming out of the blocks, I guess let's tackle a little bit more complicated topic and just choosing replacement windows. And in this format, I don't think we can really get deep into it, but I think we can talk about a couple things that are really important. First, before it is, we're going to talk about like some technical stuff, a little bit of technical stuff. But I think what I found, or what I am finding or continue to find when I look at replacement windows, as much as the low E and the all the technical, you know, things that you should look at, is just what do the things look like? What do they look like? And when Barb and I replaced windows in our house, it was a unique situation, right? But I bought like Anderson Series 400 windows, so like really good windows, and replaced, they're prime windows, right? So I just, almost like I was building again, and I really love how they look because they don't look like replacement windows at all. They're, you know, maintenance-free wood windows. But when I look at some of the replacement windows on different homes, like some of them just stand out, like stick out like a sore thumb. And I think it's because like the size of the frame that they're in.
Right.
Is that, I mean, do you perceive that?
Well, yeah, because that is for some folks, it's a big deal. Not to shrink the size of the opening with a replacement window. So the thinner the window, and there's some folks out there that advertise their windows and that's what they talk about. Is that they're, you know, it's a thinner frame,
low profile or something.
Low profile.
You say that.
Thinner frame. And they'll adjust that. So people understand what it means. So, but less frame and more glass.
Yeah.
A typical replacement window that you could pick up, at many manufacturers. And I think the first thing we have to do is qualify what those vinyl replacement windows are intended for, because I see them installed in houses that they shouldn't be installed in. So if you have a new construction window, so, you know, now we're talking about houses that were built in the 90s that people are replacing windows. And what they are is they have a nailing flange or fin around the window. Once the house is framed, these are put up and they're taped or caulked to the sheathing of the house, and then they're taped with hopefully there's some type of house wrap. Anyway, and then the siding is put up and it butts up to the windows. They either put trim around the windows or there's an integral J channel. You really shouldn't put replacement windows of the type I'm talking about in those houses. So the replacement windows that were very popular, John, when you and I broke into the business, were the ones that fit back into the wood frame of a wood window. So that's what they were designed for. And the old frame stays in place and you take the sashes and the balances, the tracks, right?
Right.
And that's what comes out. So I do see that from time to time where folks will take one of those windows and they'll put a replacement window where it's not supposed to go, and that's a problem. And, you know, I've gotten a big argument with some folks a few years ago over that, and, you know, the guy said, well, I've been doing this for 15 years. And I said, well, you've been doing it wrong. And I said, you know, and I don't mean it. I'm not trying to be a smarty or anything, but I'm just telling you, the customer alerted me to it and said, you know, I need you to come out and look at this and tell me if this is right or wrong. And when I went, you know, I said, no, this is wrong. You can't do this. You have no way to stop the water that's coming down the wall above it. It's sitting on, I tell you how far the window was sticking out of the opening that the guy couldn't use the factory holes to fasten it to the studs. Now he's screwing into the jack studs because there's no window frame there, right?
Right.
He's run the screws now through the bottom corners and the top corners of the windows as far into the inside.
That's a butcher job. Yeah.
Yeah. And he's been doing it for 15 years, he said, installing them.
I hope he's slow because that would mean fewer homes affected.
Ah, yeah. I was like, oh my goodness.
Yeah.
So anyway, so you need to ask that question if you're going to have your windows replaced, first of all. So I guess, and I know I went a little bit over on what we're talking about, but I just hate to see people install something like that because you won't know for years, but eventually you'll have a bunch of rot in behind the siding, in the wall, and it will be so costly to repair, especially, you know, if you do it on a second story. Now it's not only harming the second story wall, but it's running down the wall and getting into the framing, which is actually holding up the second floor, the floor system of the second floor, and then into the studs and can be coming down the wall. I mean, I hate that you even have to say that, but it happens.
Hey, everybody. Happy Easter. David says your house is falling down if you did the windows wrong. Nice. Sweet. Well, anything else you want to tell us,
David? I don't
know
if there's any
sugar. Yeah, as a matter of fact, put this toilet in there and your roof will cave in.
Sorry.
I'm just messing with you, man. You're 100% right. You're 100% right. And this is where we're going to go down the prophet of doom thing, so let's don't do that. But if you're not careful, like all those little things where it's just like, just get a qualified person to help you out, I guess, is what we're saying. So now that we've destroyed your house, let's talk about replacement windows.
Yes.
But seriously, I think one of the things that looks obnoxious to me is the super wide frame that is, and that's a perfectly legitimately installed window. It's, as you say, the window frame, the structural integrity of the window stays in place. All of the house wrap and flashing, you know, poly flashing and all that stuff stays in place. And you're simply fitting and caulking into place into the existing frame. So really it's a nice lead into our next conversation about sash packs specifically, but I think you got to take a look at the window and just, I can't even say, David, that, hey, you should be less than so many inches wide, but this is a good example is like, so I don't want to get down this rat hole, but lead-based paint abatement and best practices, right? 6 square feet of a house built before 1970, I think, or whatever, you know, constitutes risk, right? And you say, well, 6 square feet, I'm only doing window casing. Well, add it up. 2 inches times 3 feet. So that's 2 inches times 36 inches. And do that times 4. You now have in one set of casing or one window, 6 square feet of area, right? So a little bit of space on the left side, the right side, the top and the bottom suddenly becomes a pretty significant chunk of square inches out of your glass area, right? So you can destroy the house. I will reduce all light in the house. By the time we're done with this conversation, people will have bricked up walls.
don't even want windows.
No windows. Anyway, so do look, pay attention to the frame. And then while this dead horse is mostly dead, let's attack the real technical side. There's all kinds of really cool things. If you go to the home shows, there's all kinds of demonstrations. You'll have a heat lamp on one side of the window, and you feel the heat from the heat lamp before the window, and then you put your hand on the other side of the window. You don't feel anything coming through. That's awesome. That's low E. Low E is not a vitamin deficiency. It's actually a cool coating on glass, and it works really well. But if the glass is awesome, and then they put it in a frame that they manufacture that has poor air infiltration ratings or doesn't have a good R value itself, then while the glass part is not going to let heat in or heat out, the whole frame around it is, right? Or it will not be as good from an R value perspective as the glass itself. So when you get specs, you want the manufacturer to tell you the R value of the entire unit, not just the glass portions of it, right? And then I don't remember the specs on it, David, but ask for air infiltration ratings also, because that's pretty important. Again, from a heating and cooling perspective, those are the big three. R value, the higher the R value, the better job it does keeping heat out. U value is the reciprocal of that. So the lower the U value, the better it is from an energy efficiency perspective. And then air infiltration specs, and just use a respectable, reputable installer. I guess that's our advice. If you got questions, send them to us at AskJohnAndDave.com. Click on the questions button, or questions at AskJohnAndDave.com. There. How's that?
That's beautiful.
Now, for all those of you that went out to remove all your windows and brick them up, stop. Windows are still good.
Yes,
get a good replacement window.
Yeah, and throw all that. Right. And we talked about this, I think, last week, too. So if you have the new construction type windows, so if you had a house built in the late 80s into the 90s until now, which is mostly what they're using, is a frame with has a flange around, like I said, and it's nailed up to the sheathing and then sealed. Remember, most of those parts can be replaced, and the glass can be replaced. So really, unless the frame has been damaged, there's really no reason to take those windows out.
There you go.
You save yourself some money by doing that. So don't fret. Like I said, if it's foggy, if the glass, don't let someone tell you have to replace that entire unit, because you don't. The glass can be replaced, and you can replace the parts.
Yeah. What a good thing. All right. We didn't get to sash packs, but we'll deal with them coming right back from the break, because that's a very cool solution, I think.
Yes.
And it solves a number of different problems. So don't go away, folks. It's the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. We're going to take your calls at 704-570-1110, 704-570-1110. We will do all of that when we come back from these messages. Welcome back, everybody. It's the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. I'm John Gordon.
I'm Dave Doval.
We're taking calls. We always do. We love them when we get them. 704-570-1110. And if you can dial that, you're a miracle worker. 704-570-1110. All right. Let's do our Home Depot product of the week. I'm loving this one. I know I say that every week, but I only pick the ones I like. This one is from Amerimax Home Products. If you're in the industry, that's a pretty well-known name, but it's the Stealth Flow 43-inch black vinyl low-profile downspout extension kit. So, like, that sounds like a lot. At the end of your downspout, all that water's running. You want it to run away from the foundation. You don't want it seeping back into the crawl space. And you get those extenders. You can get them. They're kind of corrugated. They stick out, and they look like the south end of a northbound dog. Did I say that on the air? I might have.
Yep.
But so this is same thing, comes down out of the downspout. It's got a flexible elbow on it, and then it goes flat. And it's got little holes on the top, so as the water comes through, it disperses the water away from the foundation. It's got a big open end, but instead of having all that open area in a circle, it's just in a rectangle. And what I really like about it, you put a little bit of landscape fabric over the top of it, and then you cover it in mulch, except for the end. You got to let the end, the water come out the end. But now you mulch over that thing. So instead of this big thing that looks like, you know, some sort of, irradiated caterpillar, it looks like mulch.
Right.
That's a lot of words for our product of the week. It's a good thing I'm not in marketing. Anyway, it's a Stealth Flow, a black low profile, a downspout extension kit. I like it because it is aesthetically pleasing.
Right.
That's a big word too.
Yeah.
What? I'm sorry. Sorry.
That works good. You. No. That's,
all right. Works well.
I love those things.
Oh, and here, Mr. Doval, $12. $12.
Now that's we're it. Talking.
All right, that's our Home Depot product of the week this week. Check it out. You can go online and check it out. I love it. I think it's great. Now, we were talking about how replacing your windows will cause your house to fall down. I didn't really mean that, but sash packs, David. A long time ago, we did a spot on WBTV with MW, who's now been purchased by Geldwin, I think. But great companies, great products. They had those sash packs, and you were a big fan of those.
I am, because it's that.
Do you still use them?
I do, and they're the it's the in between, I guess, is what it comes down to. We were talking about having a thinner window that looks more like the traditional window. Sometimes just the sashes go bad when old wood windows. And maybe the frames have been kept in really good shape. There's no rot, or maybe there's only a little bit of rot and it can be repaired. And so the window frame is salvageable, but the customer doesn't really want a vinyl replacement window installed in that opening. So the right. sash pack is the next best thing. So what it does is it takes you from an older window that would slide up and down but didn't tilt. Now you can replace it with a sash pack. So what you're doing is you're taking the old sashes out and the tracks, the balances, and you're installing new tracks and you're installing new sashes and you're leaving the rest of the frame and the window frame. And what that allows you to do is, you get a new window, and you can get those in wood. You can get them in aluminum clad. You can get them in PVC, which is great. And they're paintable. You can get wood on one side, aluminum on the other, so you can stain on the inside if that's what you mm-hmm. want to do. So you kind of get the best of both worlds, and you get that thin line frame around the glass, so you leave lots of glass area, and you preserve the look of the house. So what it was originally intended to look like, it continues to look like that, and of course better, especially if you put something low maintenance in there. And I'll just add, if you were to do an aluminum clad or a PVC and then have the contractor wrap the old frame on the outside, so the brick mold and the nosings mm-hmm. and the sills, now you have a very low maintenance window that's not going to need to be painted. I mean, they say forever, but eventually it may have to be painted as the finish wears off. But for a long time, all you're doing is washing the outside of the house. There's no paint involved with the windows themselves.
Awesome.
Which is very cool.
And then, even if you're, so it's perfect where you have a single strength glass, not insulated glass, and you want to have an insulated glass solution. All mm-hmm. right.
Yeah,
so
that's another that reason. Also, so sure. Another reason to get rid of your storms, right? Get rid of the storm windows.
I do really love those things. And if we had not had issues with how the original windows were installed in our home, that's probably the path we would have gone. It's just they did such a terrible job with the insulating around the,
sure,
the jams. I mean, you could feel air coming through, like around the casings and stuff like
sure,
that.
Sure, because
it was,
they
terrible.
Yeah. And there is a trick to that. You know, when you were talking about the replacement windows, that is one of the things that can be done, is that where the balance or the track was removed, technically you could drill holes in those frames before you put the new window in, and you stick your foam gun in there and you foam, and you actually put some foam, because that really gives you the complete package when you do a replacement window, that they've insulated between the framing of the house and the jamb of the window. The old way was they would stuff insulation in there and pack it in. They'd take a paint stick or stir or shim or whatever, and they would shove that insulation in there to draft stop. Well, that's not legal anymore. So you have to use foam to air seal. You can't use insulation anymore. I think you could still use a backer rod.
Right.
But you have to use some type of foam in there. And it works really well. So that's an extra step you can take if you're replacing those windows, is drill holes in the frames and shoot a little bit of foam in there.
Low expanding foam, because the only thing that will reduce the size of your window opening more than a big wide frame is like the high expanding, like I had a 2.0, you know, a 2.8 window, and it's now a 2.0 window.
Yeah, now it's 2 foot, right?
All right. Well, that takes us right past the break.
Hey, so we'll do. Susan sent us a note, so let's do that when we come back.
All right. Sounds good. It's the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. And when we come back, Susan, and we'll talk about all the important home improvement things to you when we return from these messages. Welcome back. It's the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. I'm John Gordon.
I'm Dave Doval.
Give us a call, 704-570-1110, 704-570-1110. Susan says?
Yeah, Susan wrote in, and she has an existing screen porch, and they're looking to close that in. I don't know, have you ever had a screen porch, John, on your
house? Well, I have one. Actually, we have like a three-season room in this house we just bought. But
nice.
So screened-in porch I did on Glenway Court in Charlotte, yes.
Okay, so you know that for a good portion of the year, it's the greatest thing in the world. When you get to this time of year with the pollen, it's just like having a patio, because the pollen's small enough
comes
through the screen.
Yeah.
So you're kind of limited on some parts of the year that you use it. So ideally what folks do, and this is what Susan is asking, is what's the best type of window and who to call, to install this type of window. So there's lots of ways to do it, from just using traditional windows. Normally when I've been involved with those projects, John, we've used, something that's like a big slider windows, to casement windows. Normally don't use a double hung window, but you could. Normally what you want to do is have a window that opens up from the height off of the floor. Probably try to stay 16 or 18, I think 18 inches off the floor, and then you don't have to go to tempered glass. So basically you have a kick rail in the bottom, a kick panel. And then, of course, on the outside it would be siding. The inside it could be whatever you want. And if you want to insulate that, so that if you wanted to keep it a little bit warmer in the winter, maybe you're going to put a mini split in there. Maybe you're just going to take a radiant heater out there, some type of a heater to stay warm. You probably want to put a little bit of insulation in the walls. But I would use if I was going to spend the money, I would do the insulated glass, and I would either do a big slider, or I would do casement windows. Something that you can open up that you would basically in the seasons when it's cool enough, the fall and the spring, before the pollen, after the pollen, you can open the windows and still get air in. Or maybe you want to go out there in the evenings and open the windows when it's not so hot. And I'm more of a fan of that than I am.
Yes.
Some of these, they have these. Have you seen the plastic windows? I think they're called Easy Breeze.
Yeah.
And so it's a plastic window, and they fit.
My neighbor put them in. My neighbor used them. Yeah.
So I don't know how they liked them, but I think you can have a pretty good chunk of change involved in that. And I'm just, I just think maybe you go the next step up and just go to a regular window and just make it a room.
It's easy. We always joke, David, it's easy for you and me to spend our listeners' money.
Right.
Really, that's not our intention at all. In fact, we're trying very hard to help you make good and prudent and economical decisions. Mm-hmm. But my experience has been, this is me, but I would argue that as do-it-yourselfers go, I'm pretty hardcore. And I would say the biggest mistakes I've made are mistakes where I chose not to spend a little bit more money and add a little bit of complexity to a project. So for the sake of either speed or economy or economics, I've taken an acceptable route because I never want to garbage up my house.
Right.
But I could have spent more. It would have been a little more complex. It would have been, I shouldn't say a little more. It could have been meaningfully more costly, but the outcome would have been A, better from an enjoyment perspective, and then B, better from just an overall, it's just nicer, right? Mm-hmm. So for what it's worth, comments, right. I guess.
Right. No, so, agree. So, I mean, and the most expensive would be a casement window that you would put in, and then...
Sweet, though. That'd be nice.
Yeah, they are nice. And especially if it's not... So if you have an outdoor patio, we're on a little job right now, and the architect had put casement windows in this area that we're enclosing. It used to be a carport. Now it's a porch. It's going to be a pool house essentially, but there's pool deck all around on two sides. And my thought to the customer was, I don't know that I would put casement windows here because now these are going to be rolled out, sticking in the path of, of the kids. And they're just at the right height where they'll go running by and they'll take their head off, or they'll run into it and bust their noggin. Right. So we changed and went to sliders. It's going to probably end up working out better all the way around for multiple reasons. But if the porch is like this, Susan sent me a picture, and this porch is up off of the ground. So she can use anything that she wants up there, but casements would be nice. And the nice thing about a casement window is that you can open those, especially have windows that open right and open left, depending on which way the wind's going, you can catch it kind of like a sail, and it just shoots it into the room. So it's kind of cool. No pun intended.
See what you did there.
There you go. So anyway, ways to look at it. Contractors, probably you're going to want to look for someone that specializes in porches, screen porches, and sunrooms, Susan. And that way, you'll get someone that's used to the codes, that knows what has to be done,
has access to the best products or the most
exactly
solutions. Yeah,
and look at the Easy Breeze windows too. It's a pretty cool solution depending on what you're going to do. But go look at them and talk to someone that's had them for multiple years. So if your contractor's been in business a long time, if they're trying to sell you a product, make sure you talk to one of the customers that have had them for 2, 3, 4, 5 years, have been through a few seasons, have had to clean them, have had to take care of them, and make sure you see what you're in for, because it looks like your porch is up off of the ground a little bit. So that's going to be important to make sure. And I think maybe the other thing, John, we may have to go back and eat our words, but maybe a tilt-in window, a double-hung tilt-in window may be the thing to use in there with no grills or nothing to block you, with a full screen. That way you can put it, you can open the top sash. You can either drop it down and get air in the top window on one side and raise the lower sashes on the other side and get a good cross ventilation. But if it's up off of the ground, now you have to have a ladder to get up there. Because remember, but part of doing that really nice room, you end up having to clean those windows as well. So,
good point. Good point.
Something to think about. Just put that in there. And remember, double hung windows are fairly inexpensive for what they are. So.
And depending on what you've got space-wise, you can probably get a pretty nice window in there so you don't have a lot of obstruction of the view.
Right, yeah, you could put large...
If that's important.
Large windows in there, so absolutely.
Good deal. All right, Susan, thank you for the question. Appreciate it. Let's keep rolling down our list here, David. The next up I have cleaning and replacing grout, tile grout. Kind of one of those things that you'd like not to have to think about doing, but you really got to take care of. Here's another opportunity, David, to say, if you don't seal your grout, water will get behind your grout, and then it will rot your joists, and your bathtub will be in the crawl space. Would you like to elaborate on that?
I sure hate being the bearer of bad news. And
no, you got to be honest.
You know what's worse is when I get to the house and I ask him, I said, well, how many times have you sealed the grout in here? Or have you done this? Have you? No. And then you start looking and you pull the carpet back in the room adjacent to it and the floor is rotten there. So all of that counts.
Close to a closet, you got mushrooms growing in there.
Yes. So you really do need to do that maintenance. And as much as we hate to think about that, talk about it, if you really go in there and scrub that shower once a year and clean that up and reseal the grout joints, it really doesn't take that long. I mean, do it on a rainy day. You know what I mean? You don't have anything else to do, right?
It just block a time and just commit. Don't just make it on your to-do list. Got to get it done. It's not that hard. Clean them out. And then they've got little applicator tools and stuff like that to make it go really quickly. It's not that bad.
I pour it in a little cup and use a foam brush. It works really well.
It's super easy. I mean, go have, I don't know, a couple cups of Cuban coffee and then get at it because you'll just want to clean everything. In sight after that.
Right. Well, here's the other thing. You could just get on your smartphone and call somebody because there's people that do that every day and they'd be glad to come out there and clean it and seal it. And you don't have to even, you could still go have your coffee.
The grout medic, the grout doctor.
Right.
All right. The doctor's in the house. John and Dave are going to step out for a minute. We're going to take a break. 704-570-1110. That's the number. Give us a call. We'll talk home improvement when we return to the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave.
The Home Depot Home Improvement Show, brought to you in part by DryPro.
The Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. Answering your home improvement questions every Saturday on WPT. Presented by Charlotte Comfort Systems Heating and Air Conditioning and Acosta Heating, Cooling, and Electrical on News Talk 1110 and 99.3 WPT.
Welcome back. It's hour number two, the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. I'm John Gordon.
I'm Dave Doval.
Give us a call. We're at 704-570-1110, 704-570-1110. Got a whole hour ahead of us. Let's make the best use of it we can. We've cleaned the grout. Yeah. Here's one, David.
Real quick, Deborah wrote in staying with the cleaning of the grout, and she said for years that she had been looking for something that worked really well for her, and she sent us a picture of a product, and it's it's OxyClean with bleach, no drip foam, mold and mildew bathroom stain remover. Well, right there when she said no drip, now we know why it works so well, right? Because it has a surfactant in it and it's foam. John, you had some great ideas that you taught me about using paper towels.
Just to get the stick, right?
Yeah. So when you like you would cover the floor, you would wet it and then cover it with the paper towels and let it soak, and it will hold it on there longer and it'll work better. So a surfactant will do the same thing. You could also use real thin painter's plastic in your shower walls. So you would spray it down with whatever product. Mainly, I always mix a little soap, surfactant, with and make it sudsy when you have any type of bleach product, because it will help it stay on and work longer. It'll give it a chance to do what it's supposed to do. And you can make any bleach a 60-second bleach, right?
Exactly.
Right?
Love it.
So, but that works really well. But thank you for that email. And she said, Debbie said, and thanks. And she said, keep up the good subjects. She appreciates it.
Perfect. All right. Let's see. Did we lose Janet? Maybe. Yep. We did.
She's calling back. Here she's coming.
She's calling back. Okay. So while we're waiting on that, this is one that I would be happy if everybody just destroyed it, but really not. The question is about repairing textured ceilings. So, you know, you've got the spray. So let me qualify. There's a couple different, there's a textured ceiling, which is the spray texture, which is very popular with builders. It's because it's quick and fairly inexpensive way to produce an acceptable, you know, surface. And you don't have to do all kinds of really careful taping of joints and stuff and ceilings where, depending on your lighting, imperfections can show up pretty quickly. That's different from a stippled ceiling, you know, which typically has a swirl or the stipple brush kind of effect. Those are a little bit different animal. But if you've just got a texture ceiling, we'll show you and share some ideas on fixing that. But let's talk to Janet first because she called back in. Janet, good morning. Welcome to the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. How are you?
I'm good. Let me see if
how can we help
get to hear you a little better. I have a water issue in my foundation. It's not a lot of water coming in, but I have a lot of different scenarios that have caused it. Water coming from a neighbor's house. And it's not, there's standing water a little bit. My son went under the last time it rained. Mm-hmm. In one location where we had had helical piers put in. It's an addition mm-hmm. on a house. It's very complicated.
We're with you so far.
Okay. When they were doing the helical piers on the old part, it started to collapse in one corner. So they put two jacks under there, but they did not, we're finding out, rebuild the wall on that corner. So that's where my son saw a little bit of water standing. But around the perimeter, when it rains hard, he said it was muddy in places.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not flooding under there. We've had a big company do the old part of the house mm-hmm. with the piers. And mm-hmm. now they want to, the biggest price they gave me, come in, put a sump pump. And I said, is there standing water? Well, they could see a place where it had come in.
Yeah.
$38,000 to do that and encapsulate both of the crawl spaces. My son got a foundation drainage person to come and give me a quote, and he wants to add dirt to the outside to slope away from the foundation.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Because the house was built in the 1950s, the old part. Mm-hmm. New part, 1980. One area he cannot put dirt, he said, because the siding is too low.
Mm-hmm.
He wants to put a concrete, like, walkway to divert the water over to my driveway.
Let's see.
And that's about $17,000.
Yeah, yeah.
Not just for that. The new part needs jacks underneath. I'll take that back.
Right.
Because it's a 15-foot span. Does it need, they said it was sagging some in the middle. Yeah. And I've got cracks showing up.
That sounds about right. I'm going to just get you connected with someone. It's Michael Massering Consulting is who it is, and Michael has an arsenal of people that he works with. Straight up guy.
I'm not in the Charlotte area.
That's
I'm
okay.
Let's do this. Let's do this. We've got a solution for you, but we'd like to talk about a little bit about Michael going out there and then some things, but we're going to be right up against the break. So if you don't mind, we'll put you on hold. We'll come back to you right after the break, share Michael's information, and then also kind of offer some comment to give you some peace of mind about some of the information that you've been hearing. It's the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave, and we're going to be back right after this. Welcome back, everybody. It's the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. I'm John Gordon.
I'm Dave Dovell.
And we will reintroduce you to Janet, who has a lot of foundation questions. Janet, thank you so much for waiting through the break. There's a lot going on in your world, and we appreciate you sharing it with us. Yep. I think, David, go ahead. You were going to talk about Michael Massering. Let's get that connection made.
Yeah.
And then let's just share a couple thoughts with Janet so that she doesn't lose her mind over all these things going on.
So Michael is a long time been in the crawl space foundation area for a long time. So he has a consulting business, and he has several people that he works with. So he comes out and kind of is the maestro. He'll direct the entire thing for you, act as the contractor, and get the folks out there that you need. He won't sell you anything you don't need. So Michael is 704-787-6972. And
what was the last four numbers?
6972.
Okay. I have a little bit of a crackling going on in my phone. Yeah, I know. I've got too many different issues.
Yeah.
Yeah, he can handle everything you talked about. He can handle that.
That would be like a holistic solution. Just a couple things to help you have some peace of mind about it, though, Janet. I think there's some major structural things that you'll want Michael to take a look at and get some peace of mind on that. But also just the whole idea of a sump pump, the dirt. So those are all by themselves good and acceptable solutions, right? So it may be that you don't see standing water, like big pools of standing water. And so you say, I don't know that I need a sump pump. But in order to direct all the water that may be entering the area, you would do some things and then direct water to a sump pump, and then those muddy spots that your son saw would be dry,
right,
or would be part of the solution. And so a sump pump could be a very viable and acceptable solution, even though you're not seeing like tons of standing water specifically, right? So I think I would just don't dismiss that as like that's just going to be overkill. But Michael will be able to guide you through those things.
Okay, and you said he will come to this area.
Yeah, he works all over the listening area.
Okay. Well, one question I had with the second guy is a foundation drainage guy. So he's more concerned about keeping the water from going under, you know, because the dirt is lower in the spot where that more water was,
and he
was. But I didn't know about putting concrete all the way up to the foundation.
Yeah, that won't hurt any. That'll keep it from soaking in. It's actually not a bad way to go. If that's what will stop the problem. But I think a lot of times we forget that dirt is, and we talked about this the last couple of weeks, I think, and many times before. If it's wet outside, if it's dry inside the crawl space and wet outside, that water will wick into the crawl space. It'll go underneath the foundation, through the foundation, and wet goes to dry. That's just what it does. It's physics. So if the water's standing outside and the dirt's getting saturated because there's no fall, nowhere for the water to run away from the house, eventually it will wick, even if it doesn't run through the foundation, it can soak through the dirt into the dirt underneath the house, and now you have a wet crawl space. And so a lot of times what happens, and what John was talking about, is a perimeter drain that they could bring up, that they will dig a trench in the interior of the crawl space. They'll put gravel, they'll put a perforated pipe. All that pipe will lead to the lowest point of the crawl space to a sump pump. And what they'll do is that water will take the least path of resistance, follow that pipe, go into the sump pump, and then they can control it by pumping it out of the crawl space. So that's probably what one of your bids was about. Now, I don't know if the pricing was correct or not, but never hurts to get another price on something like that. And I see it often, and it is a solution to a lot of problems. Sometimes you just can't stop the water from getting in into a crawl space, and so what you have to do is let it come in, but deal with it quickly and efficiently.
He's right, though. I mean, Janet, I mean, think about it in terms of a fire extinguisher. You can have really, really good fire extinguishers and put fires out in your house, or you cannot have fires start, right? And so all he's saying is, hey, maybe we could take a look at one way to keep the water from getting in, but I think the reason David is recommending this other gentleman for you is that there's just a lot of factors, and it would be good to have one expert who can oversee all of them and give you a holistic solution.
Yeah. Okay, well, having two different quotes is, and the 38,000 was with encapsulation, and mm-hmm. We've dealt with this over the years. My husband put a French drain in because when it rains really hard, it's like a river coming from my neighbor.
Well, that's good. And you'll want to share all that with Michael. So good luck with that, and give him a call, and he'll take real good care of you.
All right. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Janet.
Have a good day.
You're welcome.
And a wonderful Easter.
You too.
Thank you. Happy Easter to you, Janet. Appreciate it. Okay. She's very calm given all the things going on in her house. Taking a good approach to it also. So thank you for the recommendation, David. Before we started talking with Janet, we were talking just about textured ceilings. One of the things that we had was, hey, I've got just a bad spot in the textured ceiling. I don't know what would cause that. It could be a leak. It could be discoloration. It could be texture that has fallen away, because unless you prime a ceiling before you put the texture on it, you may or may not get the bond that you should or could. Good to know that, I guess. But if it's just a water spot on the ceiling, like a water stain, and you've corrected the issue so there is no more there's no more water hitting that spot, Kiehl's makes a product called Upshot. And I think they actually have two colors. I can't remember the names of them, but for whatever reason, I think part of it is just the propellant or the base, whatever the right terminology is, that they use. It will block the water stain and blend in with your ceiling really well. It won't look like you sprayed a patch of ceiling and it's discolored by comparison to the rest of it. I don't know how they do it, honestly. I've actually used it, so I can tell you that it works well. But you can also purchase just textured products that are designed for just replacing portions of it, right? Mm-hmm. So you can get a big bucket, or you can get a box where you mix it up. All Home Depot will have them. Any home improvement store, probably even paint stores, will carry some of those products for you. So it's not difficult to do. And the good news is, it's not like you have to finish plaster and everything ends up smooth. It's a rough finish, so it's easy to match and make things look right.
Get pretty close. That's right. And if you do a really good job with your colors and furniture and stuff below, nobody will ever look up.
There you go. Oh, my gosh. That actually works, right?
It does.
My personal thing was, I prided myself in just every single room in our house over the duration of our being there. I just replaced it all. I just took it all down room by room as we remodeled and renovated and just got rid of it. Cause I'm not a big fan, but it's a cool and acceptable solution.
But but after you take it down the first time, you start realizing why they put it up there.
Yes. Yes.
Cause it's not just, you don't just scrape it off and paint. There is a little work to do after you scrape it off.
As one of my friends from South Carolina said a long time ago, he said, it's like a preacher's vestments. It covers a multitude of sins.
It does, no doubt. Well, you know, we got in the habit of just overlaying the ceiling. My drywall guy that has now since moved from Charlotte to the beach, lucky them that they've got him. Chris is a great guy and really, really good at his craft. But he told me one day, that's what he said. He said, Dave, he said, it'd be better just to overlay it and put some crown molding in here. And I said, let's do it. And we told the customer, and she said, but won't my ceiling be lower? And I said, yeah, like a half inch.
Yeah.
It's gonna
if you're
be
really
okay.
Worried by 3/8 of an inch, yeah.
Yeah. Well, we just used the half because then it really
it's
helps.
Easier to...
It hides even more sense. And he was so good at finishing. But you don't have to finish the edges because it's already finished above it.
Right.
So you have your fire block. So then we would just put up crown molding in there and you would hide it. And it would really, you would end up with a better ceiling and a better looking room when it was all said and done. So.
Amen.
Another way to look at it.
That's a really good way to look at it. And then if you're really going to do it all yourself and you're worried about, I don't know if I want to do the compound miter, you can get awesome little solutions where you put a little block in the corner and run your crown mold to it. You don't even have to make the compound miter, and it still looks snazzy.
It looks great. Actually, it looks even better, I think.
Looks tricky. Looks like you did something tricky. All right, speaking of tricky, we're going to take a little break, and then we'll be back to answer home improvement questions. Give us a call. We're at 704-570-1110. We'll talk when we return to the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. Welcome back, everybody. It's the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. I'm John Gordon.
I'm Dave Dolville.
And we are taking your calls this morning at 704-570-1110. Before we take a headlong dive into home improvement topics, let's do our Home Depot product of the week. This week, it's from Amerimax Home Products, and it's the Stealth Flow low-profile downspout extension kit. And I like it because it's really important. We just finished a long call with Janet about keeping water away from the foundation and out of your crawl space. And even if you're on a slab, keeping the water away from the foundation is a good and prudent thing to do. And one of the ways you do that is, you know, you can plumb stuff underground. If you don't have all that in place, then you get the little extensions and or the splash blocks. And aesthetically, you know, you got the big coil, the big corrugated pipe sticking out into your garden, or a splash block that may or may not, you know, go well there. This particular product, for certain applications, a lot of applications, I would argue, is really great because it takes the water away from your foundation. Instead of being round, it's flat, so you get the same amount of water moving away from your foundation, but because it's low profile, it can, you can put a piece of landscape fabric over the top of it and actually cover it with mulch. And it just, it takes the water coming down the downspout, spreads it out away from the house, but it does it without looking really obnoxious.
Right.
So that's it. That's our product of the week. It's Amerimax Home Products Stealth Flow 43-inch black vinyl low profile downspout extension kit. I hope they could come up with a longer name next time.
You got to explain it, right? So
I guess you do.
That's
it. I guess you
that's do. Funny. There's, I was thinking about that this morning when I came in about what the product was going to be, and I had been thinking about yesterday. I worked around the house, and I was admiring the cleanouts that I left for my downspout drains, and I'm glad that I put PVC in instead of corrugated pipe, because I've had several people. That have mentioned that to me over the last several months about what a mess they have because their corrugated pipes are full of roots and debris, and that they can't clean them. They can't use a cutter in there to cut the roots. You know, they can run a auger in there with a cutter, and they can cut those roots out, which will
beat the fool out of them.
Yeah, you can't. You can do it with PVC, but you can't do it with corrugated pipe. Well, you can try. But anyway, I was thinking about that I was glad, that I used that pipe, and I don't know why I was thinking about it this morning, but somehow I knew that you were going to talk about gutter stuff. I don't know why.
It's been so long, David. We're actually on the same wavelength. That should scare you to death.
I'm glad it just only happens on Saturday, right?
That's a joke with my team. It's like, I need something done. And they're like, well, John, and I'm like, Hey, read my mind. What's up?
You don't know?
Read my mind.
There you go.
It's good, though. It's good, though. And David, I'm like truly flattered that you were like, I wonder what the product of the week will be. Man, you might need a life.
This is my life, John.
Golly. All right, let's go. 704-570-1110. That's the number. Let's talk concrete stain. Not stains on your concrete, but intentionally, with purpose and conviction, staining your concrete.
Mm-hmm. That's funny.
David, you've talked about that as a solution for any of a number of things over the years. And I think it's a great way to go. You can, and it doesn't have to be some exotic color stain. You can actually get like a kind of a grayish color. I've seen white. They seem like too white to me. But talk about, I think you like the, was it Florida Stain?
H&C.
Drawing a blank on the ketone based stain that you are fond of for concrete.
H&C stain, right? It's H. It used to be available.
Did we lose you, Dave? Did I lose y'all?
You must have. So hang tight. we're answering the phone right now. But yeah, so a concrete stain is one of my favorites, and I'm not a big fan of the latex products that that just sit on the top of the concrete. I really like the penetrating stains that are a solvent based, and so there's preparation involved in order to get that stain to bite or to make its way into the concrete. Most of these products are telling you that you need to use some type of an acid to etch the concrete, and it's okay. It's an okay way to do it, and it can work for certain concretes. But if the concrete is real dense and has been there for a long time, you're going to have a hard time of getting the stain to penetrate. So the best way, really, the prep is to grind it, and that's whether you're using an epoxy or a concrete stain. That is exactly what you want to do. So we're going to try to get John back on. I think we've lost him somewhere, but let's get Steve in here right now. Lines are open, by the way, 704-570-1110. You can give us a call there, and we'll answer your questions. And Steve, that's what we'll do for you. How can we help?
Hey, good morning.
Morning.
My question is, I pulled up the carpet, removed all the staples, and nailed down and I countersunk all the nails when they did the floors. The subfloors are plywood, of course, but the top of the floor itself is particle board. So I know there's high and low spots to lay laminate floors. So a floor leveler, a skin patch for the low spots, high spots, that being a water-based product, will it affect the particle board, and will I have issues of it swelling, or is there some other form of prep before I do some type of floor leveler for the low spots?
Yeah, that particle board is not the best subfloor for any product. As a matter of fact, on hardwood floors, you're not even supposed to put it over top of it. And I guess the question is what it says is, why would you put that much money over something that's not substantial mm-hmm. enough? So kind of the same thing with laminates. And I'm not sure, I don't know if I've ever read that in the directions. John, have you ever read that about not putting laminate floors or vinyl? Is this a LVP laminated vinyl plank, Steve?
It is.
So I don't know if you're supposed to put that over top of those floors or not. So you may want to read into that.
I don't know, David. I have not looked. I don't know.
Could you, I mean, I know it's a lot of work, and I've actually got sheet vinyl in the kitchen and the laundry room. Everything else was particle board.
Right.
Could you, I mean, if I chose to spend the time, would you oil base that and then you could put a water base level?
Yes. And that was exactly where I was going. So you would go in there with some type of an oil primer and put that down. And then that will help suspend any moisture that gets on that floor. So it's probably the next step would be to take it up, which you probably don't want to get into. And I've done it. It's not fun.
Almost 1,200 square feet of it.
Yeah. So, you know, the good news is that the 5/8 underlayment that you buy to take its place goes down in 32 square feet per sheet, so
right.
But it's the the 6 square inches that come up at a time when you're taking the particle board up that are
that's
the pain.
Right, and then of course the door frame. So
right.
Yeah.
Is there any other product other than say an oil kilt or some other kind of sealer or an epoxy?
Would Sani Tread work on that, David?
You could put Sani Tread, but it's expensive. You'd have to order it. There's another product. Let me see if I can find the name, but it's a water-based product too, so I don't know if that would work. The Sani Tread is a polyurethane base.
What about a membrane?
Well, now the vinyl already has the backing on it,
yes,
the flooring. But what I'm wanting to prevent is when, you know, sometimes you walk on people's floorings, all of a sudden you got a little dip.
Yes. Well, and that's what right, and that's what causes that floor to open up too. So it'll cause the joints to fail. In that floor. So if it's not stable, what you put it over, then it'll pop open. You'll have joints that pop open. So,
well, what I've also done is not, you know, they had, I guess that when they nailed, they put carpet down, they didn't care. So I took my nail set and I drove all the nails down, but I also took some 2-inch construction screws and screwed through the floor into the joists to stop the squeaks and make it a little more firmer.
Sure.
So I'm putting a little bit of over prep in it because, I mean, I got $3,300 worth of flooring at the house. That
right.
Mama wants it looking nice and flat.
Yeah,
and
good for you. So that's what I would do then is I would go with a solvent-based primer, oil-based primer, you know, vacate, get everybody out of the house and you know, pick open a day windows. That you can open the windows and ventilate and get it. It'll run out of there pretty quick. And,
and like now that we're getting warmer, I can open the windows and just go outside and do some yard work or something.
Right, there you go. And that way, just put a fan and just force some ventilation through there and get it done. And and the thing I always tease people about with these solvent bases, when you have to use them, whether you're doing something like you're going to do or finishing the floors on a hardwood floor, is that the bugs go out too. It leaves the bugs. Yeah. The bugs leave, so they don't like it. So.
Nope, they'll find their way right back in because they want to stay warm too.
Yep.
All right. Well, that was my thought on that. Like that, I know they're every floor is not perfectly straight. I mean, I'm putting crown up, and the damn corners are not 90 degrees. Never are.
Yep. Never are.
No. All right, sir. We're going to slide away for a break. Steve, appreciate your call.
Thanks, guys. Bye bye.
Have a great one. Off we go to a break. We'll be back right after these important messages. Welcome back. The Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. I'm John Gordon.
I'm Dave Doble.
Let's see. We're in the final rounds here. Give us a call. We're still at 704-570-1110.
Hey, John, we were just talking about this at the break. How long have you been at Home Depot now?
If I make it till next Saturday, 32 years.
Wow. Nice.
So don't ask me any tough questions. I want to make it another week.
Where's the wheelbarrows?
It's there you go. No, it's been an awesome ride. I can't believe it. I just can't believe it sometimes. I mean, it's been great. It's been hard work, bro. Don't get me wrong. You collect that paycheck every 2 weeks, you're going to earn it. But I love earning it. I'll whine all day if you let me, but it's great. I like David because what you and I learned growing up, that the values, like how you treat people, is what's expected of me there, right? So there's no dissonance between what my company expects of me and what my parents and my maker expect of me.
Right, absolutely.
Kind of a sweet deal.
People tell me all the time, they say, man, you're lucky, you're self-employed, you don't have a boss. And I said, I have a boss. Every customer I have is my boss.
Yeah.
I said, that is how that works. And I said, it's just that I don't have to work for that boss for very long. So.
If you're looking for a super good book to read, that is a super simple read, it's not difficult, but it's just great. Get a copy of Built from Scratch. If you can't find one, send us an email and I'll get you one. It's about how Home Depot started. And then Bernie and Arthur, I think, or Arthur maybe did one, kind of a follow-up called Kick Up Some Dust. They're actually pretty cool. And you'll find out like that Home Depot doesn't think that we're perfect and flawless in all things that we do. And there've been some, you know, challenging times, probably will be more challenging times, but it's a great book. I give it to customers. Cause I just think it helps them understand like what to expect of us, right? Not just like, hey, I want a good price and a good quality product. There's a whole lot more that you should be expecting. And if we're not delivering, you know, shame on us. I had one guy call me one time. He's like, hey, I saw that thing and I think your guy didn't do this right. And I'm like, you're right. He didn't. Let's fix it.
Yeah.
So, all good.
That's what we're supposed to do. Hey, let's go back real quick to
concrete stain?
To the concrete stain, because we had a question. Al last week had written in, Al from Rock Hill, and he wanted to talk about his garage floor coating and what to do. And he wanted to know whether we recommended the epoxy or the stain, the concrete stain. Mm-hmm. And I'm not so much going to get involved in that because I think that's up to individual choice, because you can get a whole different look with the epoxies. You can throw the fleck out there on it.
Yeah.
You know, of course, you can just do an epoxy in a solid color too. But then of course, the concrete stain. But more importantly, I was more concerned about the prep. And we had talked about that while you were getting rebooted there. I don't always think that doing an acid etch is the way to do it. I think that, you know, when Rust-Oleum started that program, and I think they were doing it through Home Depot for a while.
Mm-hmm. They were
grinding the floors. And I knew Barry, and you knew Barry, that was running that program. And he told me, he said, you know, it tells you could acid etch it, and you can, but he said, you don't get the bond that you get if you grind the floor, grinding the diamond grinding the floor. And if you don't want to do it yourself, you can hire people that will come in and do it, and then you can put the coating on if you want. So lots of ways around that, but make sure you consider grinding the floor versus just doing the acid etch. I think you'll end up with a better product in the end.
Awesome. Awesome. Right.
Let's get Mike.
Let's get Mike. Mike, good morning on the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. How are you this morning?
Hey, doing great. I enjoy your show. And you started talking a few minutes ago about Home Depot. I just wanted to share a little personal experience. Back in the late 90s, I needed a part-time job. And so I applied to be a cashier at Home Depot. And I was so amazed at the company, because to be a part-time cashier, they put me through 3 days, 8 hours each day of training to be an employee at Home Depot. And that was at the Matthews store. And then it was followed up with 2 more 8-hour days at the Pineville store to teach me how to be a cashier the Home Depot way. And so I had 5 days of training just for a part-time job. And then Danny Green.
I was going to say, you had to talk to Danny Green. I do. Yes.
He was the instructor. I was so impressed with him. And he mentioned the book, Built from Scratch. So I went out, I believe I bought it. Doesn't matter. But anyway, I got a copy of it and read it. And I was further impressed with the company. So, and you know, just little things, I think they've changed over time. But I remember they taught us never tell a customer when they ask where is the product, it's on aisle 6. They didn't even have numbers on the aisles for that reason. They didn't
want
to make it easy. They wanted you to walk the customer to the product and talk to them along the way. So anyway, and one last thing, I remember an example in the book of Built from Scratch. I believe it was Arthur Blank was out on a golf course with another company executive back when his first store was built. And the other company executive said, your store will never make it. He said, I went in to Home Depot, your Home Depot store, and I was ready to buy a faucet. And the employee said, why are you buying the faucet? He said, well, mine leaks. And he said, your employee convinced me to buy a $2 package of washers instead of a $100 faucet. And he said, you will never make it with that mentality. And Arthur Blank went to the store and gave the guy a raise. That's exactly what I want my employees doing.
That's right.
Yeah, that's it. That's the
right
truth
thing.
There's some great stories in there. Check out the one about Ross Perot. But Mike, thanks for sharing that. And I'm so thrilled that you got a chance to work with Danny Green. I used to call it when I was a store manager, because I just wasn't as polite as everybody when people would point to stuff. And I don't say we get it right every time, every day, but I say, please don't give my customers the finger. Okay. Mike, thank you so much for that call. On that colorful note, we'll wrap a day. Thank you, everybody, for listening. If you celebrate Easter, this is an awesome weekend coming up. Enjoy it. And remember that we think that the most important kind of home improvement that you can make is the one that makes your home a happier place to live in. Don't forget to work on that project this week, and we'll see you next week on the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave.